Amen. We're continuing our series on.
Hold on 1 second.
Be ye separate and apart. Amen. Be ye separate and apart. Which kind of meshes with Sunday's sermon, because you don't want to be around the crazy people mixing in with them. So let us be separate and apart. That ought to be an easy thing to do in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Amen. So let's open up our scriptures to the Word of God, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with the 14th verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with the 14th verse, reading down to verse 18, and then on into chapter 7, verse 1. And it reads, verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, do not be bound together or unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial or Satan? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What a promise. Therefore, as a result, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to his reading of his holy word. Amen. And may the hearer thereof be blessed in Jesus' name. Now, we want to go back to verse 17 as we left off. This is by way of review. Verse 17. It says, therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them. Go out from their midst and be separate from them. We talked about last time what it means, what this doesn't mean and what it does mean. We talked about that this passage is frequently misunderstood and misused. To go out from their midst and be separate does not mean to refuse to associate with those who follow a certain set of rules. We talked about legalism and things of that nature. You don't baptize like I baptize. You know, you wear lipstick and we don't. You wear pants and we don't, and so forth. And so we will not fellowship with you. It does not mean that. Does not mean to cooperate with those who don't teach exactly all the things in the ways that we would teach or one would teach, following all theological dictates, if you will, and distinctives, and also theological ministry styles. Doesn't mean that we are to, because I hack and you teach, we're not going to fellowship. Does not mean that. It doesn't mean retreating completely from the world into some sort of monastery. Because you don't want to see anything, and so you think that if I can just get away and just be off somewhere, that'll be better for me. But that's not talking about that. And also, that's not biblical. Separating from unbelievers doesn't mean divorcing your spouse, even though she may be unsaved or he may be unsaved. Does not mean that 1 Corinthians takes care of that. If the unbelieving spouse wants to remain in the marriage, you must accommodate that. You're not to divorce. Go out from their midst and be separate does not mean that we're never to associate with sinners in the world. Remember, Apostle Paul said, if that's the case, we have to go out of the world. We're completely out. And also, how are we going to fulfill Jesus' mandate of the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 and 19, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So we have to be out amongst the world, but not of the world. He talked about Jesus being out and amongst the world, so much so that they were saying, here's a man who's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. He's a friend of them. Why would he say such a thing? Because he would recline at the table with them and eat with them. But as we quickly warn and caution that the reason Jesus did this, he was about his Father's business and he was on a evangelistic mission. He just wasn't hanging with tax collectors and sinners, the dregs of society, just to be hanging with them. He was doing that because there was a purpose, an evangelistic purpose. Even though others looking on the outside, looking from the outside, didn't understand. And so they would ask questions, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Well, that's why they called him a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax of collectors and sinners. We talked about that if an unbeliever invites you to dinner, you are disposed to go. Eat what is set before you. And so you are to go if you're able. Again, understanding the evangelistic slant toward that visit. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 10 says, I do not at all mean with the immoral people. 1 Corinthians 5, 9 says, I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. Then in verse 10, he clears it up. I do not mean with the immoral people of this world or with covetous, swindlers, idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. That's letting you know how crooked and ungodly the world is. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother. If he is an immoral person, a covetous, an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. And so that was cleared up in that sense. If a person professes to be a Christian and is living an ungodly life, he says you're not to eat with that, even eat with that person. We talked about, what about going into business with unbelievers, undertaking financial opportunities, and so for buying homes from non-Christian real estate agents, buying cars from Christians, non-Christian car dealers, and so forth and so on, not having unsaved neighbors, and so forth. It doesn't mean that if you can't use somebody who is unsaved. And I go over the what seemed to be the supercilious, but some people will do that. I remember we were in the charismatic church and people were taking things to the extreme by asking, should we buy a dirt devil vacuum? Because it had devil in the title. And so although this sounds silly to us, but others are, you know, they're taking it to the extreme and not realizing they're not locking in on what the spirit behind the spirit of what the Lord is telling us. Yeah, so you don't separate yourself from the dirt devil and you buy, you know, the Best Buy brand or something, insignia. It's not talking about that. That's what he's not talking about. What he is talking about is that we are not to be, if you will, in collaboration with, to fellowship with, and join ourselves together with those who are immoral and who try to influence us to do that which is not holy. Remember, Evil communication, a bad, corrupt lifestyle will corrupt a good, yeah, a righteous one. So he's saying that believers are to separate themselves from immoral behavior and the influence of non-believers. We talked about, we believe that the Apostle Paul drew his analogy of saying, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. He drew that possibly from Deuteronomy 22 and 10. Do not plow with an ox and a donkey yoked together. We talked about they don't have the same nature. They don't have the same strength. They are two different beasts. They're mismatched. And you're not going to successfully accomplish the task that you set out to do, which is a plow a field. A donkey does not have the strength, does not have the wherewithal, even the stride of the gate, if you will, how far they can walk, even that is going to be different. You're not going to accomplish the goal. Believers and unbelievers in the same way are two different breeds. Two different breeds. Amen. With two different natures, two different agendas. And they cannot work together in the spiritual realm. What he's talking about is working together in the spiritual realm. Apostle Paul here is calling for separation in matters of the work of God. Since cooperation, if you will, for spiritual benefit is impossible. There's no way that a sinner can come alongside a believer and the goal is to try to accomplish something that's spiritual. There's no way that that is going to be of any benefit. And there's no way you can accomplish that task. The false teachers, they were eager to blend the unbeliever in with the people of God. Almost like the wheat and the tares, the field was full of wheat and tares. And they blended in. And that's what he likes to do. Satan likes to infiltrate churches to get in there. And he'll use all kinds of deception, such as tolerance and cooperation and social justice and even racism and fighting racism. He'll use all of that to get into the church. He loves to infiltrate. It's one of his most trickiest, deceitful ploys, if you will, to get into the church. Remember we said he doesn't want to fight the church, he wants to join it. When he fights it, the church grows stronger. When he joins it, it grows weaker. Undiscerning believers who join in a common spiritual cause with unbelievers, they form unbiblical forms of Christianity. Like we talked about Chrislam. They open the door wide for Satan to come in and just infiltrate the entire church. And in a lot of cases, killing it. Absolutely disbanding it. One commentator says, further embracing those heretical systems falsely reassures their followers that all is well between them and God, when in actuality they are headed for eternal damnation. What a lie. Satan sells the lie that yes, when you cooperate with the unbeliever in trying to do something spiritual, he gives both the unbeliever and the believer the false sense that all is well between them and God, when in actuality, they are headed for eternal damnation. Look at Jeremiah chapter 2. We're still just reviewing, but we're coming to the end of our review. Thank you for your patience. One commentator said turning the church into some kind of racist, feminist, homosexual welcoming club in the name of the gospel is to exchange God for an empty cistern. Remember that? Jeremiah chapter 2, look at verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, declares the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. We don't want God's cistern. We don't want his jar, his pot that can hold water from which the fountain of living waters flow. We want to make our own, which are broken and can hold no water. We've switched gods. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 19. Thank you, Father. Verse 19. What do I imply then? That food offered to idols is anything? And we found that that's not true at all, because 1 Corinthians 8 and 8 lets us know that an idol is nothing. Or that an idol is anything. I'm sorry, the food is nothing because you're offering to an idol that is nothing. No, I imply that what pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. So he's saying, like, I'm not prohibiting you from eating the food, because the food is offered to an idol that does not exist. So it's no big deal there. He said, however, though, when the pagans, the unbeliever, the sinner, when they sacrifice, they offer to demons and not to God. So in that sense, Apostle Paul is saying, I do not want you to be participants with demons. So come out from us. You see how that's spiritual? That's spiritual. Come out from among them is talking about in dealing with things concerning the spirit. Verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Remember, there must be that separation. There must be that separation. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. If I'm going too fast, please let me know. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, who has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. See that? Separate yourself. Do not become partners with them. Who are those? Ones who have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. You see the separation that he's calling us to. For the fruit of light, verse 9 is parenthetical. If you have read the ESV, they have parentheses around it. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Amen. Verse 10. And to try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Discern. Carefully think it through. Remember talking about the mind on Sunday. That discerning involves the mind, the will, the understanding, the thought process. Discern what is pleasing to the Lord, because everything is not necessarily pleasing to the Lord. Verse 11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. He says, therefore do not become partners. Verse 7, do not become partners with them. Verse 11, take no part in unfruitful works. Sound like in both of those, he's saying be separate and apart. We are no longer children of darkness. Thank you, Lord, is right. For at one time, you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Now, he didn't say whoopee and clap your hands and slap your hands and dust your collar. He says, nope, give the command. Walk, live, order your life in accordance with the word of God as children of light. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Speaking of being turned from darkness to light and from the kingdom or dominion of Satan to God. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Verse 13. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us, thank you, Lord. He, God Almighty, through the blood of Jesus, has, past tense, already done, delivered us from the domain, the kingdom, the sphere of darkness, and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Well, let's then walk as children of the light. Look at Acts chapter 26, verse 18. Acts 26, verse 18. Talking about being turned and delivered and transferred from darkness to light. And again, in Ephesians chapter 5, we just read verse 8, for at one time you were darkness, but now, right now, you are light. Verse 26, chapter 26, verse 18 of Acts, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Man, that's what he did. He turned us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. So does he not then have the right to ask us, come ye out then from among them and be ye separate? Man. Believers and unbelievers populate, if you will, or are citizens of two opposing kingdoms, two different domains, two different worlds. We are citizens of, and we populate two different worlds, two different kingdoms, two different domains. You say, well, I know that's obvious. Yeah, but sometimes it's hard to spot it because we're so fellowshipping and partnering, if you will, with those who are without. I believe in mentioning the obvious. Christians are in Christ. Christians are then, if they're in Christ, they are in his kingdom. The kingdom of light, the kingdom of Christ Jesus, is characterized, if you will, by righteousness, by light and eternal life. The kingdom of life, The kingdom of light, the kingdom of heaven, is characterized by righteousness, light, and eternal life. Light being that which is pure, holy, clarity, understanding, knowledge, wisdom, etc. Unbelievers, they are in Satan's kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. And that kingdom is characterized by lawlessness, darkness, and spiritual death. Lawlessness, darkness, and spiritual death. Darkness representing lies, deceit, trickery, ignorance. The saved and the unsaved have different affections, right? We like different things. We have different beliefs. We have different principles, different motives, different goals, different attitudes, different hopes. How can we ever be in partnership with unbelievers? They can't have the same affection as you have, especially spiritually speaking, the same beliefs, the motives, the goals, the attitudes and hopes. That's why, although it's not per se, if you will, a sin to go into business with someone who is unsaved, but since your goal and your motives and your attitude are going to be different, it's probably going to be a challenge to be in business with an unbeliever. In short, summarizing it, Christians and unbelievers have two opposing, here it is, world views. We just don't see the world the same way. Someone wrote, as a result, relationships between believers and unbelievers are at best limited to the worldly, earthly, natural, secular, and external. That's all it's going to be. Worldly, earthly, natural, secular, and external. He goes on to say, they may enjoy family ties, work at the same job, share in business relationships, live in the same community, experience the same hobbies and pastimes, and even agree on certain political, social issues, right? You may agree on certain things. You may both like golf or fishing, or you may both be in the same family and can get along at a family reunion. But on a spiritual level, believers and unbelievers live in two completely different worlds on a spiritual level. Remember, we said again that at best, a relationship between a believer and an unbeliever are at best limited to the worldly, earthly, natural, secular, external, at best. But on a spiritual level, two completely different worlds. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Thank you, Father. Two different worlds. Verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Boy, is that telling you clearly to be separate from that? Don't love it, the world, or whatever's in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life and possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Don't love the world. Be separate from the world. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. Believers and unbelievers, as it relates to things of the Spirit, the things of God, we live in two completely different worlds. And our world is not to cross over into theirs. Verse 4, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity and in opposition and opposed to God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy, hostile to God. That's strong language. So the world, the unbeliever whose life centers around the world is completely different from our life, which centers around the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in two different worlds. We're citizens of two different worlds. We belong to two different kingdoms. We have two different masters, and we have two different natures. And so all of our goals, our hopes and dreams are even different and cannot be the same. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2, while we bring home this point ad nauseum. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Thank you, Lord. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. How are you going to discern what the will of God is? By not being conformed to this world, but being remaining separate and apart from it, and being transformed and rising above it. And that's how we'll do that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's go back to our foundation text as we get ready to close. And also we'll end this series too, when we got the point across. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Again, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial or Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? Just think about that. What portion do we share? None. Absolutely nothing. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will make my dwelling among them. Walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. I love how he just states it so clearly. Go out from their midst. That would have been good enough. But then he says, and be separate from them. Them there, says the Lord. And on the way out, don't touch anything that's unclean. Then I will welcome you. That comes from Isaiah 52:11. Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. That's from Isaiah 52. The Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, I'm quite sure, is hearkening to that when they were given an assignment there. Verse 18, and I will be a father to you, should be my sons and daughters to me. And you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, I love the direction as we go out from this place. Let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of the Lord. Remember, saints of God, we are righteousness. We are light. We belong to Christ. We are believers, and we are temples of God, and we have no business being unequally yoked or mismated, if you will, with lawlessness, with darkness, with Belial or Satan, with unbelievers and those who worship idols. Father God, help us to fulfill the command in verse 17, to go out from the midst of this world and be completely separate and apart from this world. Help us to recognize who we are. We are righteousness. We are light. We belong to you, Christ Jesus, our Lord. We are believers, and we are temples of God. We have no business partnering, fellowshipping, being unequally yoked with or sharing with those that are lawless, who walk in darkness, who belong to Satan, who are unbelievers, and who worship idols. Help us to clearly see the difference. And as one of the verses we read earlier, help us to discern that which pleases you. Amen. Let us do that. Now I want to do you who are able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of your glory. May you do this with exceeding joy as we recognize that you are the only wise God, our Savior. To you belong all the glory and majesty, dominion and power. Both right now in time and forevermore in eternity. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen.